Hi guys, so right now I have to distract you a little bit from finance. A few questions first. So anyone who don't like gambling here? A few. Okay, and anyone who don't know the European football or the soccer? Okay, also a few. This topic is about the market for EPL odds. So EPL represents for the England Premier League. So the motivation from this paper is about this photo I read. Okay, so there's an article from the faculty, David Sumter. So he has a book that Soccermatics, so represents for soccer mathematics. He claimed that he can use math to beat the bookie or to beat the brokers or the market to have a 200% return from betting on soccer. So that's his claim. Because I'm from Chicago, so I believe in the market efficiency from farmers. So I don't believe anything from that. That's why this is the first motivation. I want to investigate what happened if we look carefully for those odds data or how we really bet on the bookies. The second motivation from this paper is this photo. If you guys watch the EPL, the England Premier League, then you will know that last season there was a very underdog team, Leicester City. So in any measure, they cannot be the top teams, the top five or top 10 teams in the league. But they win the championship at the end of the season. So if you bet $1 at the beginning of the season, you will get 5,000 back. That's, I don't know what's the return so you can get. And so this is the second motivation that I try to study, how those brokers or how those online brokers, they provide odds and how they adjust the odds game by game or even intra-game. So let me give some introduction for the soccer betting market there. So a few years ago, there was one article measured the size for the market that this is a $1 trillion market only for soccer. If you come for the basketball, you come for the baseball, you come for football in America, then this is twice or three times for the sports betting. But the method I'm going to talk about today, which we can apply that to any other sports, actually for low-scoring sports like hockey, like maybe football. Okay. And right now, there are many kinds of odds or many kinds of betting we can do. There are few largest online betting firms like Betfair, Bet365, and NetBookers. So all the data we use today is from the NetBookers. They're all from England, of course. And as you can know, we can bet on anything for a sports game. Before the game, intra-game, or after game, so intra-game, any minute during the game. So for example, like yesterday's game, when Cav has a 30-point lead in the first half, so they are bet online that whether they can make to 50 after the second half. So basically, you can bet on anything. For soccer, for the simple rule, we just bet on the win, draw, or lose, or how many goals score in total, how many goals score in the first half, and which player really score. And currently, there are some prop trading firms, they have their sports trading team for this kind of bet. Okay, this is the data we will use for the paper. Okay, this is a screenshot from NetBookers for the game Everton and West Ham on March. Okay, so before the game, they will show you all possible outcomes that might happen during the game. Like here, the home team, the Everton, which can score from 0 to 8. The away team, which can score from 0 to 5. You can see the odds there. Like the 0 to 0, which means if you bet $1, if that outcome get realized, you get $11 back. And if we convert them to probability, then, for example, for the 0 to 0, for that draw, the probability is like 1 to 12. However, if you sum up all probabilities from this kind of table, they will be a little bit larger than 1, say 1.1, because the bookers, they have to earn some fee, okay? But as I say, right now, those online bookers there, they can provide this kind of tables minute by minute during the game. So they change the data minute by minute during the game. And I would say that if we try to reflect intensity for the game, or if we try to know what is the booker expectation for the game, then we can learn from the odds data here. So in this paper, we basically just introduce a distribution, how we describe this data, and then we just calibrate a few parameters for the data here. Okay, So what we can learn from the book is, as I say, we focus on the score difference for soccer games, like winning one, just then the positive one, a draw, that's zero, a negative one, which means losing by one. And then we rely on the book market efficiency, because we have to rely on, okay, which is quite reality, because there's a few largest bookers here, and this market is very competitive. They have to use all the information to provide a fair odds. Otherwise, yeah, then they will lose money on that part. And our model is not quite really a prediction model, so we cannot tell anything to you that what's the outcome we can predict from the soccer game or predict from an NBA game. But we can tell you something that, okay, what is the broker and what is the market expectation for how intense the game is currently be in. Okay, just like the game, like the NBA game yesterday, after the first half, then we know this game already done. Okay, then we don't need to watch the second half anymore. If we use our model to evaluate that, then we can see the volatility just decrease to zero, something like that. Okay, and for the last point we can make out is that, okay, if the market is not that efficient and then some small brokers, they try to bias the odds, something like that, then it is possible to apply some long stock strategy to leverage those odds. Okay, but this is for future research, we will not discuss this here. Okay, so just to sum up a few sentences, our model is just like the discrete time black shows, but not on the option prices, but on the soccer odds. Okay, as you know, black shows just try to use a continuous time model to give you some interpretation for the option prices. But for our purpose, we try to give you some interpretation for the market odds or for the score difference. In the paper, we used a scaling process, which is a difference between Poisson process, not necessarily independent. They can be correlated in some way. And for the model we do, we don't provide prediction. We estimate the model minute by minute, or anytime the broker updated their odds table there, we estimate the model again. This is the feature we talk about for time varying. So we don't provide a time varying model, we just provide time varying estimation. So, but as the game evolves there, okay, then we can see how those odds or what's the market expectation and what's the implied volatility we can get from the model. Okay, here are some notation for the model. So if we say team A is the home team and team B is the away team, okay, then WAT and WBT, they represent some scoring goals from the team. They're just Poisson process, they can be independent. WT is some common shock to both teams, like weather, okay, for a soccer game, they usually outdoors, so the weather plays a big role there. Okay, but all this, that integer process there. And also, because we model the score difference, we don't model the sum of score, so for the odds table there, we haven't used all information there, we only use the marginal distribution, the score difference there. Then when we take the difference, then you can see we can get rid of WT. So WT is something bring correlation to describe two team goal score, but WT, we don't need to specify the distribution for that. And as you see, when we take the difference, then we can define the scaling process. A scaling process, we need two parameters, lambda A and lambda B. Okay, and then for the conditional distribution for the goal score by team A and team B, which is just an independent Poisson process there. And then when we combine them by the property for Poisson, then a lot of things are easy to calculate. Then we can calculate the goal, the score, the difference between these two teams. So T here is from 0 to 1. 0 is the first minute of the game, and 1 is the 90 minute of the game. Okay, so the conditional distribution for the last one, which is that given the score at time t, what is the broker or the market expectation for the score's difference will be at the end of the game. Okay, once we define the distribution, then anything just easy calculation at that part, given the lead, so L is the score at time t, winning by one or losing by one, something like that, then we just use the we just need to calibrate the scalar distribution given all aux data from the broker. We calibrate what the lambda A is, what the lambda B is. Then we can have a distribution description for what their will is. Okay. Given that will, then we can use the scalar process to give some prediction for the outcome from the broker side. Okay. Then we can know what's the winning probability, what's the draw probability, something like that. And also, because our data are aux data there, so we need to transform them to the probability. So here is the slide how we really estimate, how we really calibrate the model. First of all, we observe those aux data from the table. So as I see the table from zero, for score 0 to 8, 0 to 5, then we put all the aux data there. Then we have their probability. Then we calibrate the two parameters, lambda A and lambda B. And given, and to calibrate them, just a simple method of moment to calibrate them. And given the, so the lambda A and lambda B are the output here from the MM estimation. At any time t, when we see a new aux table from the broker, we will estimate the model again. That's what we call lambda ta and lambda tb. So those coefficients that we estimate at every time t. Okay, and we can also discuss some time varying discussion here. Our approach is to we estimate the model from t to t, but if you really want to use those game statistics, if you don't quite believe the market efficiency, then we can put some more characteristics, put some more covariates to model those scoring abilities, like the possession rates, the corner kicks, the yellow cards, the red cards. And I will use a few figures to show you that those important events during the game does impact the implied volatility of the game at large. Okay, but if we rely on the market efficiency, we don't really need to watch the statistic table from ESPN. We just watch the aux and then we back out everything we need to know. Okay, here is the aux table again, so as to show you that if we want to estimate the distribution from this aux table, we only focus on the co-diagonal. We haven't used all information from the table. We only use the score difference, like the one in circle, which is the winning by two from the home team. We calculate the marginal distribution, and then we back out what the lambda A and lambda B is. Okay, if we have the calibrated model, okay, here are four blocks. The top two blocks, they are before the game. The bottom two blocks, they are in the middle of the game, so after the first half. If we back out the scalar distribution, we can perform some prediction from the broker's side. Then we know the winning probability, the draw probability, like the 1-1 block there, and then the top right block there, which is what kind of goal difference can happen given the distribution. And then after the first half, then the broker, they update the aux table again. Okay, then we re-estimate the model that we get the bottom two plots. Okay, then we can see, okay, Everton, they have one goal score in the first half, and then after that goal score, what kind of goal difference can happen for this bottom right plot? Okay. Here are a few two slides. We try to show you the sufficiency if we use the scalar process to describe the distribution from the aux table. So this is table is by outcome from losing four by winning to winning five. And then the first row there from the brokers, the market probability, the marginal distribution from the brokers before the game. What's the broker thing? The evidence they will lose four to winning five, the probability like that. The second row is the probability implied by our model. So in this plot here, you might see that, okay, our model underestimated the draw outcome a little bit, and we underestimated the extreme event losing four a little bit than the broker. And here is a second approximation sufficiency show, which is that, okay, the previous one is just before the game. Okay, then after 10 minutes of the game, the brokers, they update their aux table. Then we take the information from them. Okay, then we estimate the model again, then we check how our model implied probability compare with the market probability. And you can see that, okay, from these 3x3 blocks there, the sufficiency to approximate the market is quite well, except for a few things. We usually underestimated the probability for draw. And if you're interested, we have a further discussion for this part in the paper. And this is a second last plot I want to show you. Okay, so here is, so from this plot, you can see so the dark blue is the winning probability from Everton. So the gray is the draw probability, the red is the losing probability, yes. And then, so you can see that before the game starts, so the booker is bet Everton can win like 57.5% from that data. And then, okay, but something changes after they scored their first goal, and something changes again after they get the first red card. So as you know, if they get a red card, they will lose one player, 10 players with 11, okay? And then, okay, after Everton scored the second goal in 53 minutes, then you can see the winning probability of them just go to more than around 90%. Okay, at that point. So you can see the dark blue go to 90% after 55 minutes there. However, the reason we choose this game because this game is dramatic enough. So West Ham, they score 3 goals in the last 15 minutes of the game. That's why you can see that so the market does change its expectation dramatically from the intensity of the game. So the winning probability of Everton shrink to 0 in the last few minutes of the game. So this is something, if we use our model, we can visualize what the broker think, what the market think about how the game outcome will do. And this is the last plot I try to show you. As I say, our model is a discrete version of Black Scholes. So first thing we should show is the implied volatility of the game, the standard deviation or the intensity, how the market is bet for the game. So begin the game starts, the intensity is less than 4. The blue line there, they are the reference line from 1 to 8. So before the game starts, the implied volatility from the broker's wheel is less than 4. But as you see, for the last 10 minutes there, as West Ham, they score 3 goals in 10 minutes, then the implied volatility just jumped to 8 in the last 10 minutes there. They are above the 9 for 8, okay? So this is one measure we can show that if we use information from the broker, then we can learn a lot about from the game. The intensity for any sports game, which is really hard to measure, but we have very good data from all gambling websites there. They update their data every second, every minute during the game. This is something we can dig into in future. And that's all my talk. Thank you. Any questions?